service. The thought that I have on my mind this morning pertains to service scriptures that I used last service, chapter 12, verses 1 through 10. We begin to speak on those verses, but the thought serving today is humility. Service, and this is a problem with God's people and people all over the world is being humble and serving the Lord in humility. I believe that if we're to serve God, we have to be humble. It's essential. For when we're lifted up in pride and exalted above measure, it's hard to serve the Lord in the capacity that God calls upon us to serve Him. There's no song that said it's hard to be humble. Well, truthfully, that is the case. In our carnal nature, it's hard to be humble. When we're humble, we don't think more of ourselves than we ought to. We don't esteem ourselves more valuable than someone else. We don't brag and we don't boast. And that's not just in the church. That's in life. And you serve people who are very humble and people who are not. And pride causes to serve in life and leads us in very many directions. I want to give a little bit of review for a few minutes of what we spoke on last Sunday. And really it was leading up to this point was the life and the experience of the Apostle Paul. You know, Paul's experience, as we stated last Sunday, was unique compared to ours. His experience of grace, we know in Acts chapter 9, was unique to my experience, and I feel like certainly to your experience. You know, the Apostle Paul, if you would, was a very proud man and very arrogant when he was known as the Saul of Tarsus. This was prior to his experience of grace on the road to Damascus. You know, he didn't like Christians. He didn't like the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was on a mission to eradicate the church, to eradicate them. And he was proud of what he was doing. He had a zeal for God, but no zeal for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord said, if you'd have known my Father, you'd have known me. The Bible, he tells the Jews that numbers of times in the Word of God. But this experience is unique. And his experience of grace, it's unlike any that I read about in the Bible, and certainly not like mine, and I don't believe anybody sitting in the congregation's experience. He was on the road to Damascus. He had letters to Damascus from the high priest, and if he found anyone following the Lord Jesus Christ or serving him in any way, he was going to bind them and take them back to Jerusalem. Not only did Paul throw Christians in prison, he also consented to the death of Stephen. He was standing there, and he clearly teaches us that in Acts chapter 22, that he consented to the death of Stephen. So Paul was a proud man. He was proud of what he was doing, and he was arrogant. But in this very experience, Paul's life was forever changed. It's when it began. He was going down the road to Damascus, and a bright light came down around about him above the brightness of the sun. Now, you know how bright the sun is. It's so bright that you and I cannot visually look at it with our eyes without going blind if we looked at it very long. But this light was greater than the light of the sun. There was individuals that were traveling with the Saul of Tarsus. We call Paul now, and he becomes later known as the Apostle Paul. They all fell to the ground. It wasn't just Paul. This great light was a magnificent light that caused them all to fall to the ground. But we believe in the immediate regeneration of God's people when God sends His Spirit into them. It's not a process. It's not something that we go through from day to day or that we reach out to. Paul, or Saul of Tarsus, he wasn't looking for the Lord. He wasn't headed to make things right. He was headed to bring havoc on the church and to cause trouble for Christians, those that followed Christ. But the Lord caused him to fall down. Now, I believe there's a great lesson that when we're lifted up in pride, the Lord can bring us back down to the earth. He calls us to fall. He causes us to once again walk on level ground and not think highly of ourselves and not to be arrogant and not to esteem ourselves of greater value than others. That's one of the great problems with humility. But this experience was unique. It didn't happen to me. I can't remember when I was born of the Spirit of God. The Bible tells us if you believe in Jesus Christ, it's evidence that you are one of His. It's not what made you become one of His. It's evidence that you are one of His. He's touched you with His grace at some point in your life, from the time that you were born from or conceived in your mother's womb to this very day or some time during your life. But Paul's experience was unique. He didn't ever forget his experience, I don't believe. First of all, he said, Lord, Who art thou and what will thou have me to do? That tells me that this experience was immediate, because he was headed down the road to bring destruction upon Christians, and all of a sudden he had this great change of mind. Paul also had another experience, and I think this is unique. We believe that Jesus Christ is a personal Lord, that he talks to you individually, personally. We know those other folks that fell down, only Paul was blinded. They wasn't blind. They led him into the city after this event took place. That tells me that God himself directly spoke to Paul, and it didn't matter how many others were in attendance. That's how God works today. It doesn't matter who's there, what they've told you. When God touches a man's heart, it doesn't matter who they're surrounded by. That's exactly what happened to Paul. So his experience of grace was far different than, I believe, an experience of grace that I ever had or anybody that I know of. The other thing that we talked about last week was the way that the Lord communicated with Paul. First of all, just shortly after this experience, he came to him in a vision. He told him about a man named Ananias, and this man would restore his sight. See, Paul was literally blind for 3 days after this experience. I mean, I know that I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but God never blinded me. Paul was blind, and in a vision, he seen a man named Ananias, and this man restored his sight. That was his first vision. God has never communicated to me in the way of a vision. We find that God not only communicated to Paul in visions, but also in spiritual revelations. Some of the other visions he had were to guide him and to encourage him. You know, he had a vision in Acts chapter 16, and in that he was praying, and in that vision he seen a man praying in Macedonia and said, "Come over here and help us." And Paul was certain that this was of the Lord, and immediately he went to Macedonia and preached the gospel. We find numbers of times that Paul was fearful for his life, and the difficulties of life were hard for him to deal with. And as we look in Acts chapter 22 and verse 17, let's go to 18 first and get one. He says in verse 9 of chapter 18, he says, "Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by vision, be not afraid." You know, Paul goes through his life, much of his life, fearing for his life, because there were many that wanted to put him to death. When this great change came, things were different for the Apostle Paul. It tells me that to some degree, I don't believe to the Apostle Paul's degree, that things are going to be different for us. We're going to suffer and we're going to have trials, and things are not always going to go our way. They certainly didn't go his way. We also find that he had another vision in Acts chapter 22. And in this vision, in the 23rd, it says in verse 18, "And he saw him saying unto me, make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem." Prior to that verse, it said, "And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance." Again, Paul's experience of communication with the Lord is far different than mine or anyone that I've ever known. He had a special relationship with the Lord. He had a special experience of grace. It brought about the same things, but I've never had a vision, and never have I saw the Lord or spoke to the Lord audibly. And that's what the Apostle Paul did. We find that in Acts chapter 23, the Lord came to him in a vision night and said, "Be of good cheer." That's something that we need to keep in the back of our minds, because we are going to suffer in life, and we're going to have trials. Most of us don't want to talk about that, and there's a reason for that. We don't want to suffer. All we want is good blessings and good days. But I tell you, you can be happy and you can enjoy life even in the midst of trials and troubles if your focus is right. The Lord said, "Be of good cheer." In Acts chapter 27, he was out on the ocean in a ship. And in this ship was in a great storm, and an angel of the Lord came to the Apostle Paul, and he told him that he was with him, and that him and all the men that were on that ship would be saved. They wouldn't drown. They wasn't going to die. He was on his way to be put before Caesar. So again, we see these visions that Paul had. They were unique. They were different than anything that I believe anybody in this age and time have had, the way that the Lord communicated to the Apostle Paul. Over in Ephesians chapter 3, and in the first 6 verses, it tells us that he received spiritual revelations concerning the mystery of Christ and how the Gentiles were brought in. I mean, God has impressed me at times or given me a piece about doing things, but I can't tell you that I've ever had a spiritual revelation that was equal to what Paul had. I don't believe I have. I don't believe there are many folks that have. There were prophets and apostles that had those situations back when the apostles were here, but Paul's experience was unique. It was different. It was. You know, and we oftentimes think, as I said last week, how great would it be to sit down and have an audible discussion with the Lord, and he could tell you what to do, where to go, and how to do it. You know, it would be, you think it'd be wonderful. But to climax all this, you begin over in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and I believe this tells them the experience that Paul had that was above all the others. Paul went into heaven. It says that he was caught up into the paradise, caught up into the third heaven. You know, he said he didn't know whether he went there body, soul, and spirit, or went there in spirit, but he said the Lord knew. And I tell you what, this man had had communications with the Lord in numerous ways. It says in verse 7, and he said, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations. Paul had an abundance of visions and spiritual revelations. And, you know, sometimes you think how wonderful and how blessed we'd all be to be able to communicate with the Lord the way that Paul did. But back in Acts chapter 9, he told Ananias, he said, he's a chosen vessel unto me. He said, I will show him how great a things he must suffer for my name's sake. And as I said this morning, people do not like the subject of suffering. They don't. But there's a purpose in suffering. There's a purpose in the things that go on in our life. And I would just certainly ask you to remember, humility is part of God's way of humbling us, of bringing us back down to walk on a level playing field. And I know that Paul was humbled many times in his life. Humility, for an example, is freedom from pride or arrogance. You know, here's a man, the Apostle Paul, that had spoke to the Lord. He had seen the Lord. He had been in paradise, a place where the divine seat of the divine majesty is, where the holy angels reside, and where the souls of the saints, of your loved ones and our loved ones who have went home to be with the Lord. This is what Paul was caught up into. Can you imagine such a situation or a circumstance in your life being caught up like that? Matter of fact, it excites me more and more about heaven. It says that he heard words that were unspeakable. That word unspeakable means inexpressible. You know, a lot of people write books and give you ideas about heaven, but as I stated last Sunday, Paul said it was not lawful for a man to utter such things. What do you think Paul meant? Why couldn't you speak about heaven? Why couldn't you talk about it if you went there? Because I believe that what Paul seen and what Paul experienced there, he said there was no words in the human vocabulary to express what he seen and what he heard. And he said, I could not do justice unto that. There's no just way, no lawful way that I could tell of the experience that I had in heaven. As I stated, I believe this is the only recorded experience in the Bible of a man who literally went into heaven and came back. We have accounts of those who didn't die. You know, they were translated to heaven without dying. You know, some might argue that, well, Elijah and Moses came back to the mountain of transfiguration, but Paul came back, and Paul's life was a life of humility, something that we all have trouble with. In Proverbs, it tells us that these six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are abomination to him, and the first one is a proud look. You might say, well, I don't have a proud look. But I tell you, if you have a proud look, you can understand one thing. It's a consequence of having your heart and your mind filled with pride. That's what brings about a proud look. You know, oftentimes in life, we are blessed above measure. We go through life. We get a good job. We make a lot of money. And days continue to go on. And if we're not real careful, we get lifted up in pride. It's something that comes very natural to us. It's a problem. It's a great sin in our lives. Pride is overtaking a lot of men, a lot of preachers. There are preachers who are lifted up in pride and they have a great ministry. And when we get lifted up in pride, we begin to think that some of the things that occur to us in life are of our own doing. You know, God gives you the ability to do things in life, to learn, to get jobs, to have relationships. He does. He gives you that ability. But the glory always goes to the Lord. That's something that we have a tendency as human beings to forget when God prospers us, when we have these things. Here, Paul, a man who had spoken verbally to the Lord, and the Lord spoke back. He had seen the Lord. He had taken a trip to heaven. Now, if there was ever a man, in my opinion, that had the reason to brag or boast, it would have been the Apostle Paul. But I made a statement a while ago that Paul had a unique situation in his life. But if you'll go to the 11th chapter of 2 Corinthians and read from verses 23 through 33, then I'll tell you what. Maybe Paul's life was strengthened. His ministry was strengthened by these visions. There are those who wonder when this trip to heaven or when he was caught up into paradise happened. There's all kinds of different opinions in what you read. Some believe it was around 8 years after the time that he had his experience of grace, when he went up to Jerusalem and he was praying and caught up in a trance. But I don't know if there's anything concrete to prove when or where it was. But the interesting thing was, he said, in verse 2, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years. He's speaking of himself. He's speaking in a third person. The man he knew was himself. And the reason, why did he speak that way? Have you ever wondered about that? Because he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 31, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. He said, I want no glory. And he thought it's better to speak of himself as another man than to speak of himself in this situation, because he didn't want to rob God of any of his glory. You know, we think about his experiences and how wonderful it'd be for the Lord to speak to you and I like he spoke to Paul. But would you trade that for what Paul went through? He was beaten 5 times with over 40 stripes, save one. He was 3 times beaten with rods. He was stoned. He was on the ocean or on the sea 3 times, shipwrecked. And then he was left in the deep a night and a day. He traveled often, and he talks about the perils of life or the dangers of life. He was in danger of his own countrymen. He was in danger in the city. He was in danger in the wilderness. Paul was in danger among false prophets and false apostles, which he was addressing in 2 Corinthians. You know, he said he was weary. He said he had problems with sleep. And on top of all that, he was given the care of the churches daily. Now, as much as you and I would like to have a vision from the Lord and be spoken to, I'm not sure any of us want to suffer the way Paul suffered. The Lord told him right after his experience, I shall show him what great things he shall suffer for my name's sake. I'm very thankful that I have not suffered like the Apostle Paul. I know I hadn't. I believe all of God's children do suffer to some extent, but I have not suffered like Paul did. And I don't believe anybody in his congregation has suffered to the extent that Paul suffered. But what was the purpose in that suffering? What was the purpose in that? You know, oftentimes when we have miraculous things happen in our life like Paul, it would have been very easy for his ego to have been inflated, would it not? If you'd have went to heaven and seen things that you couldn't even express or speak of, would you not want to go out and tell everybody, I've been to heaven? People today would. Some people would even want to make money off of it. Some people want to be famous. But Paul spent over 14 years, and this is not even recorded in the book of Acts. Over 14 years, Paul said not a word, told not a man. This is unique. This is a picture of humility if I've ever seen it. You know, he began chapter 12, and he said, it is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. Paul said, there's no profit in me glorying whatsoever. There is no profit that I should glory. Humility can be a hard lesson. It's the way God balances our life, I believe. You know, if all we had was blessings, just like Paul, it wouldn't be long till we thought more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. That we'd esteem ourselves as more valuable than someone else. But I tell you what, you have no more value in the sight of the Lord than anyone else, because he paid for your sins with his blood, the same blood for each and every one of us. That's where value comes into the Lord, not in what we do and what we say and how rich we become. You know, we ought to follow the Lord. We ought to keep his commandments. We ought to do what he calls upon us to do. We ought to do it in a state of humility. And I believe that's a great lesson when we look back at Paul's life. We didn't have to suffer like Paul. Therefore, you know, maybe it's the reason we didn't see visions like Paul, didn't have revelations like Paul did. He suffered in an extraordinary way compared to you and I. But the Bible tells us that we're all going to suffer. As I said, no one wants to suffer. No one likes it. We all want to be blessed. We're told by Paul himself in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 29, for it is given to us on the behalf of Christ not only to believe on his name, but to suffer for his sake. You know, if you believe on the Lord, it was given to you on the behalf of Jesus Christ. But one thing you can count on is you're going to suffer. Suffering is a mystery to many of God's people in life. It is. Sometimes we suffer just because we're human. Our bodies age, they get older, they have more difficulty. That same body that provides pleasure will someday, if not oftentimes, provide pain. You know, sometimes we have friends, relatives that we cherish in our lives and that we have great relationships. Sometimes it's those same relatives that break our spirit, have troubles with us in life, and cause us to become so disappointed. I tell you what, we all suffer to some extent. That's the truth. And the Bible says that we're going to suffer. Because the Lord said, in this world ye shall have tribulations. But as he told Paul back over in Acts, be of good cheer. That's what we got to work on, is being happy, even though we know the Bible tells us that we're going to have difficulties in life. We're going to suffer from time to time. If you've had a loved one in your life, you're going to suffer the pain of losing them. If you live long enough, you're going to suffer the pains and agonies of old age. That doesn't mean you ain't going to have a lot of blessings. You very well may. I believe God's people have blessings. But the key, I believe, to serving the Lord is to understand what's coming forth. You know, suffering is something that some people claim in the world, and even those that preach the gospel, that if you'll live right and walk right, you won't have any suffering. But the Bible doesn't teach me that. The Bible teaches me that all God's children suffer to some extent. I tell you can't help but lose somebody you love and not suffer some pain and agony for a degree of time. We're going to suffer from sickness. All of us get sick, some more so than others, some earlier in life than others. But the Lord is teaching us by example here through the Apostle Paul that humility is key in our life. You know, it's hard to be humble, as that old song said. It's hard to be successful. It's hard to have so many blessings in life and not want people to look at us and think highly of us and esteem us better than someone else. But that's sin. That's the temptations, and that's the trouble that pride brings to us in our life. And we need to always remember that. And as I close this morning and we think about this, Paul here, he wasn't expedient. He had a great many visions. He had a great many revelations. And it said in verse 7, unless I should be exalted above measure through an abundance of revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan. Some people have written for years about what that thorn in the flesh is. I don't think that is the most important thing here. I think that's really figurative. Some people will disagree with me. But it says, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan. I believe the messenger of Satan is what's literal there. And he knows our weaknesses. And sometimes God, as he did with Paul, he did with Job. He allows and permits burdens to come in our life that we might play on a level field, that we might come back down to earth when we're highly exalted. Because by nature, we all have a tendency to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think we're so important. You know, there are even people that think the world can't do without them or God can't do without them. But I'm here to tell you, God doesn't need any of us. We need him, but he doesn't need us. He will accomplish his purposes with or without us. God is sovereign. God was sovereign in the work of salvation, and God is sovereign in all that he does. But as we think about that thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, he says, lest I should be exalted above measure. Paul said over in the 4th chapter and 17th verse, he talked about our light affliction that works in us. So oftentimes when you have trouble in life, you're not going to consider it to be light affliction. But Paul made a statement in Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. He says, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time. That word reckoning is an accounting term that means to take inventory. And I tell you right now that if you're to add up all the suffering that you go through in this life, whatever it might be, the disappointments your children bring into your life, the disappointments that you have at work, on and on goes the list. The suffering you go through when somebody you love is tragically taken and before their time, or at least you feel like it's before their time. On and on goes the list of things that can happen in our life. If we were to add them all together, no matter how long the list is, he said, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. You know, Paul went to a place it said was paradise. And what he saw there, he said he could not express it with words in the finite vocabulary is what I believe. He said it would not be lawful or just, because in no way could I tell you with words what I seen and what was in heaven. If that don't excite you about heaven, I don't know what will. You know, we all have thoughts about heaven. It's a real place. And because Paul went there, we know it's real and that God takes men to be there. And one day, we got that great hope and that assurance because of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ that that's where we're going to be. And no matter how much we suffer, we need to understand that we can have a happy life. Jesus said, in this world, ye shall have trials. You're going to have tribulations. You're going to suffer from time to time, but he says, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Sometimes we find it hard to be cheerful in the midst of affliction and difficulties. But when our focus is right on the Lord Jesus Christ, we can do that. We can be blessed in such a way that we don't get beyond those things. The Lord won't take them away, but he will give us grace to get through them. And that's what we have in this chapter. This first 10 verses is actually an explanation of God's grace and its sufficiency for our need, no matter where you're at or what time of life you're in. God's grace is sufficient for everything, for each one of us. It was going to be sufficient for Paul, and Lord willing, we'll finish up next week on that message. But I tell you right now, humility is a great thing in life. You know, when you meet a person that's humble, and it's just, you just can't take for that. No matter how smart they are or no matter how much they've been blessed, humility goes a long way with any individual. And sometimes we have trouble getting puffed up and thinking that we are better than other folks and think more of ourselves than we ought to and more of other individuals in life. May God be with us when we're that way, and may God forgive us when we're that way, and may God encourage us to always be humble. This afternoon we're having communion, and Primitive Baptist, after we've had the Lord's Supper, we enter into a foot washing service. A lot of folks don't do that, but we'll do that after lunch. But when we do that, the lesson in that service is humility. Jesus Christ himself bent down and washed all the disciples' feet, and he was their Lord and he was their master. And he said, if I, your Lord and master, have done this, you ought to do it one to another. The lesson's humility. We're to serve one another with a humble spirit. And God knows how to balance our lives. You know, he knows how to bring us back down to earth. May God richly bless you is my prayer this morning. I thank each and one of you for being